name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Clare of Assisi, and our Holy Mother, the Church, has presented us with an excerpt from the Canticle of Canticles. And this Song of Songs is a beautiful love poem between God and mankind. And it speaks of divine love in very human and very, you might say, graphic, materialistic terms, so much so that the Protestants have been scandalized by it and they have excluded it from the Bible. And there are many who have read it and are truly scandalized. How can such things be in the Holy Bible? And I think they've missed the whole point, because the point is to show us, or to give us a mystical interpretation. It is an attempt to express a divine love. And we really have no other ways to conceive it than the physical world in which we live. But it is truly a beautiful poem that expresses the love of God and the sacrifices that he has made to come to this earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He sacrificed his Son out of love for us. And what does he ask in return? Is that we should love him. And as St. Paul says, now is the acceptable time. So in this passage from the Song of Songs, we read that it is now spring, the winter is gone, the rains have passed, the flowers are rising up in the field. And in this springtime, every young man's heart turns to thoughts of love. And so the Canticle of Canticles is painting, if you will, the situation that brings our minds, our hearts to thoughts of love, the springing forth of life. And now the birds are singing, and it is as if we hear the voice of God, the loving voice of God calling to us. But like the birds, we have to search them out. They're hidden behind the branches of the tree and the clefts of the rock. God is calling forth to us, come out and search for me. Here I am, your lover. Come. Come and find me. But in springtime, when the trees have set forth their branches and their leaves, it is also the time of pruning. If you wish for your fruit tree and your fruit vines to produce something, they have to be judiciously pruned. We have to cut back that which is not going to be productive of fruit. So all the suckers are cut back. And the little buds that are going to produce flowers and later fruit, those are judiciously left. And it is truly an art to prune. But what is the mystical understanding for us? Our lover is telling us it's time for us to prune. We are born in this world and we produce a lot of useless branches and leaves because we're materialistic. And it's time to start pruning, cutting. For we want to produce the best fruit for God, the best fruit out of love for him, and to do so, it's necessary that we judiciously prune. But I say judiciously for a reason. Because if you've ever pruned a fruit tree, there's two tragic mistakes you can make. You cannot prune enough, and of course you'll get all kinds of suckers and leaves and branches, but no fruit. You can prune too much and you can kill the tree. So somewhere in the middle here is prudence. And the same is true with our souls, with our life here on earth. There's a pruning that has to take place. but it has to be judicious. God wants us to make a sacrifice. He wants us to prune. He wants us to come out to Him. He wants us to deny ourselves and come follow Him. But on the other hand, He says, thou shalt not kill. That fifth commandment commands us to take care of our health, not to harm the body, because our body is a gift from God. And so there's this judicious measure that we're going to have to measure out. And we're presented today to consider the life of St. Clare of Assisi, a young girl born to wealth. Her father had hopes of her, probably her whole family had hopes of her marrying well, a beautiful young maiden with lovely hair. She sneaks away from her family in the middle of the night to come to the chapel where St. Francis and his brothers met her, where she takes off her beautiful veil, exposes her beautiful hair, and St. Francis, with a razor, cuts it off and puts a religious veil over her head. She takes off the beautiful dress that she's wearing to put on the coarse wool habit of poverty. She prunes. And St. Francis is there to make sure she prunes judiciously. It seems severe to us, but because she loved, she was truly in love with Christ, she wasn't going to hold anything back. For when we truly love, we don't count the cost. You've read anything of secular love, you see the young man, he will go and slay dragons for his love. He will cross mountains and rivers, oceans. There is no obstacle that's going to get in his way when he truly loves. He will overcome whatever obstacle it is. He will do whatever is necessary. The saints, particularly because we're considering St. Clare of Assisi, this is the love that motivated her. There was no sacrifice too great to give her love to Christ, to give her life to Christ. But yet I mentioned a little while being judicious. St. Clare was very hard on herself, and she was very hard on those women who followed her. So hard that even St. Francis had to come in and put a stop to it. Prudence, woman, you're going too far. You have to take care of your health also. Yes, you must prune, you must make this sacrifice, but you must also care for the life of your body. It too is something good. It too is something given to you by God. God does not intend for us to kill ourselves in serving Him. But He does expect us to make a judicious sacrifice. But none of us are free from such excesses. There's something about our human nature, we tend to go to an excess. But while St. Francis preached to St. Clare and told her to be careful, to be prudent, to be judicious, on his deathbed, St. Francis of Assisi has to publicly make an apology and beg forgiveness from his physical body for having abused it. For he called his physical body Brother Ass. And he scourged Brother Ass, and he starved Brother Ass, and denied him many things out of love for Christ, as a sacrifice to God. But in looking back at his own life, St. Francis saw that he went too far in injuring his own life, in offending God. And so even then, this great Saint Francis of Assisi has to beg forgiveness from God. But to give you an idea of the love that these saints have for Jesus Christ, I'm reminded of an episode in the life of St. Clare that's related to us. St. Francis went periodically to the convent there to preach to the poor sisters of Assisi. St. Clare is their head. And St. Francis began to worry a little bit. Clare and her companions, he thought, were becoming too attached to him, to St. Francis personally, and not to Christ. They wanted to hear him and not the Word of God. And so St. Francis decided enough. He was no longer going to go to the convent to preach. He was not going to go there and talk with these sisters, because he saw they were too attached to him personally. And St. Clare responded to this decision of St. Francis. He says, "Very well then. If you intend that our souls should live without spiritual food, then certainly our bodies can survive without physical food. The sisters and I will no longer eat. We will no longer feed this physical body, because if you expect our soul to live without food, surely this body, which is less important, can survive without food." And of course, St. Francis had to relent. She got her way. And it, you might say, is reminiscent of St. Benedict, and who was his sister, St. Scholastica. They recall the story when they used to meet and discuss things of God, and St. Benedict was there, and his sister did not want him to leave, and she prayed to God, and God sent a storm so that St. Benedict could not leave, and that he could continue speaking of God to her, because it was food for her soul. And so there is this consuming love. But this consuming love has to be prudent. And you probably heard me preach to you before, or recall that I preached to you before, that God hasn't made us all equal. He's made us all different. And we're meant to complement one another. And in St. Clare of Assisi, this burning love, this feminine fire, if you will, had to be moderated by a male counterpart with perhaps a more logical, down-to-earth, reasoning mentality. While St. Francis lit that fire of love for Christ, he also had to control it and to contain that fire. And St. Francis of Assisi, he wasn't without his faults, he wasn't without his needs. And he often sent one of the brothers to consult with St. Clare. Said, "What do you think I should do?" In times of indecision or which way he should turn, he looked for advice from others. And the two complemented one another. They completed one another. And the first order, the second order, are pairs. You could put the third order in there too. All need one another. The order is complete with all three members. It is truly beautifully reflected in the Blessed Trinity, or the Blessed Trinity is reflected, I should say, in the three orders of St. Francis. They are all needed. And so I've encouraged in the last few weeks for us to pray for an increase of vocations, that God would hear the call to take pity upon us and send vocations to complete the order, to fill up the order, because we need these religions for the church. The church is truly like a widowed mother, like the widow of Nain carrying out her only son. We must pray to God to have pity on the church as he had pity on this mother, and to give life to her children once again. For we truly need priests and religious to pray for us. But in order for these priests and religious to exist, we must pray for them. One can't exist without the other. We are truly dependent upon each other. But in the spiritual life, not only the religious, the three orders of St. Francis and the other orders in the church, but even the laity. All of us have been called to this canticle of canticle. The divine lover has come from heaven to embrace each and every one of us as if we were the only one in all of creation. He has come from heaven for us to give himself to us. He wants us to give ourselves to him, to mystically unite ourselves to him. And even in the world, it's possible for us to go from one extreme to the other. And if you look at today's gospel, the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins, we're told that their oil is charity, and the foolish virgins, they ran out of charity. They were all good. They were all virgins. They were all pleasing. But the five foolish ones did not have sufficient oil. And I ask you to consider once again prudence. The wise ones were prudent. They had sufficient oil to carry their lamp through the night until at least the dawning of day. They thought ahead. They planned. But at the same time, they didn't have to go and buy a barrel of oil or a tanker truck full of oil. They just had oil sufficient for the evening. And I look at the Israelites when they left Egypt and they were out in the desert and the manna came down from heaven. God told them they could pick up the manna and that would be their food for the day. They were allowed to harvest enough manna that fell from heaven to feed themselves and their family for the one day. And they had to have faith in God that tomorrow manna would rain just as it has rained today. The only exception was on Friday. The day before the Sabbath, they were allowed to gather twice as much manna because they were not permitted to gather the manna on the Sabbath. They couldn't carry enough through the Sabbath until the first day of the week, just for the Sabbath. On the first day of the week, they had to trust in God that he would rain manna from heaven. And so I think our Lord is telling us in prudence that we don't have to be, what is it, greedy. We don't have to be avaricious. We don't have to be hoarders. And he gives us a parable about a rich farmer whose barns were full and the crops were ripe and they were harvesting. And he had no place to store the harvest that was coming in. So he tore down his barns and built bigger barns and filled them to the brim. And then after they're all full, he sits back and says, now I can take my retirement. Now I can relax. My barns are full and I can live off of this for many years to come. Call the parable, and our Lord says he was a foolish man, for this very night his soul will be demanded of him. We must be prudent. We must lay up for tomorrow, but we don't need to lay up for our years to come. The virgins in today's gospel were to lay up or to take with them sufficient oil for the night. They don't need the oil during the day. They have daylight. but at the same time they weren't to have more oil than they could use, more than they needed. They just had enough, and that way, you see, they couldn't share with the foolish ones. They only had enough for themselves and enough for the night, trusting that tomorrow God will provide for them. And if you will stop and think about it, the prayer that our Lord gave to us, the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, what is it that we ask of God? Do we say, give us this week our weekly bread, or our monthly bread, or our yearly bread? What is it that we ask of God? Give us our daily bread. This is prudent, to take what we need for the day and not worry too much about tomorrow, to have a little trust in God, as the Israelites did in the desert. God will provide for tomorrow. We only need to worry about today. If we can get us through today, we'll worry about tomorrow, tomorrow. We can't build up too much, and we can't be too careless about the day. There's a balance that has to be made there. And we see in the lives of the saints many times they failed in that balance, and God sends someone to correct them. God sends them the opportunity. And just as He has done for these saints that we read about, He does for each one of us. He's constantly watching over us, sending us reminders, if we will only pay attention. Our lover is calling. He's watching over us. He may be hidden from our eyes, but if we're listening carefully, if we're searching Him out, we will hear His voice. We will catch glimpses of Him in the cleft of the rock or behind the branch of the tree. And our hearts will grow aflame with this love. And those little glimpses will be as adding fuel to the fire. It will give us the strength to go just a little bit further. This fire that burned in the hearts of the saints is meant to burn in the hearts of every one of us. Again, to return to St. Paul, now is the acceptable time. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time to hear the voice of our Lover. Now is the time to realize this is whom we were made for. Our catechism taught us that, but as children, we certainly didn't grasp it. Our hearts were made for God. Our love was made for God. And when the love of God fills our hearts, it becomes easy for us to prune away the cares, the affections of this world. For a certain few, God gives them the grace to prune away all affection for love of this world, so they can give themselves completely to Him. And in giving themselves completely to Him, they become, you might say, our angels, our mediators. They're that bridge between us and the Lover. The religious who have given their hearts and souls to God, the priests dedicated to Christ, bring the love of Christ to the rest of us. They pray for us, they intercede for us, and they carry our message through their prayers and their sacrifices back to God. The religious reciting the divine office are fulfilling the obligation of every one of us Because so many in the world don't have time. They're too busy taking care of their material bodies, taking care of the religious' material bodies, that they don't have time for prayer. But the religious, especially that second order, the poor clares who are cloistered, their whole life, their whole day is consumed with prayer to God, with adoring God, with loving God, with putting our needs before God. And they pray not for themselves, but they pray for the entire church. They pray for us. And so, in conclusion, I ask you to pray to Christ that he would give us these vocations, that he will give this new life, that he will preserve what he has given us and he will increase it. Because it seems to me the world is in desperate need of that complementary force, those human angels, if you will, to bring the love to all of us and to bring our love to him. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos et maniat semper. Amen.